During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Isn't this a sports show?
So I got a haircut yesterday, 2 days ago. I also brought the beard in a little bit today.
Ooh.
And so this is basically, I'm just waiting for the guy that said I looked fatter on Facebook than I sound on the radio.
Almost entirely.
Just come back now. It was mostly fluff. Facebook commenter.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
He also called into the postgame show at one point, and he's cool. Mom, please stop bullying that guy. It's fine.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Not a joke. None of what I just said was a joke. Every single syllable was a real thing.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
That was bad. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but it was bad. There it is. Hold on. Let me change that. That was bad. I admit it. I'm not sorry.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Listen, I know everybody is tense right now, but I think that we've got to kind of take this learning experience and try to take something from it. We got to be careful about calling races way too early. We got to be careful about vote tabulation and working within the parameters, taking all the time we need to make sure we get the right candidate. I can't believe we gave Russell Wilson the MVP after like 4 weeks of the NFL season. Patrick Mahomes clearly at this point should be the front runner, and he's not even getting talked about. What else is going on? I've been asleep for 6 months. That's not true. Welcome into Almost Entirely Sports. This is the first time we've had two shows in back-to-back days in a, you know what? I think it was probably the first time we've had shows in back-to-back days since the NBA had their strike or boycott or walkout or whatever.
But you're right.
I think that might have been the last time we had shows in back-to-back days, because here on Sports Radio 810, you may not know this, we're your home for the NFL. We're your home for the NBA playoffs. We're your home for the MLB playoffs. So we've had all sorts of live sports because they all went away for a long time.
And they came back at the same time.
And all came back all at once. It was sort of like, isn't that what tsunamis do? Like, the water all pulls away, and you're just like, oh, wow, look at all this dry land. This is wild. And then it all comes back at once. We had a sports tsunami. And so whenever the water was out for that 6 months or so, we had shows every day. We were just absolutely out here pounding the pavement. And now we've had these little just quick little jabs where you can pop in. We got a free Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, we had the show last night. We got the show tonight, and it's good to have some space to really kind of stretch out a little bit, stretch our legs, spread our wings, soar through a little Almost Entirely Sports tonight.
Things are finally getting back to normal. Society is healing.
Yeah, nature. Yeah, that's right. Nature is healing. Everyone's happy.
Nature's not healing, but society is.
That's true.
As society heals, nature dies. And as nature heals, society dies. These things can't. It's a yin and a yang. One can't be without the other.
I'm not sure if there's anything as a society that we can all be like, yeah, it worked out pretty well. Outside of sports.
Because the NBA bubble worked out pretty well.
NBA bubble worked out well. Listen, baseball, for all of the little scares, shout out Marlins and Cardinals. But it worked.
Might be strong, but like it worked.
They missed a handful. Those two teams missed some games. They made up most of them, I think.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to say any. I think it's hard to say baseball did anything well.
Rudy.
Because they're run by maybe the most incompetent leader in America. I can't think of anybody else.
Me neither.
Roger Goodell?
Listen, Rudy. Here's what happened. Rudy determined to. I was like, I don't really want to play with fire tonight. And Rudy was like, gasoline! Let's drink it! Baseball started their whole deal. They missed some games. At one point, Buster Olney, baseball-loving, baseball-plugged-in, journalistic, sane, level-headed person, pillar of again, like baseball intelligence and wants it all to happen. At one point, I think he said there was a 5% chance the season would start and a 0% chance it would finish.
He was in a dark, dark place, man.
For sure.
Buster and like, only, and rightfully so. I just mean, like, you were right. Like, at the, especially like at that time, like, he was just like, I've never seen, or, well, I've never actually seen Buster Olney really in general besides like on TV.
Right.
But I've never heard Buster Olney just sound so sad.
He was just saying, nah.
Like, he had just like given up on life. Yep. He was like, nope. This is it.
We'll see you in 2021. Ooh, there's a CBA deal coming up? Yikes. Hey, baseball, we'll see you in the next election cycle. We'll see if we have baseball by the midterms. But, like, that. Remember where we were at? Baseball crowned the champion.
I am legitimately stunned. I mean, like, now I'm not stunned because, like, of obviously, like, things eventually chilled out. But, like I told my dad multiple times, like, just enjoy it while you can because the season ain't finishing.
Yep.
And to their credit, they finished.
They did. And now, Turner infect the World Series trophy itself? Maybe. Maybe.
Did the entire Dodgers team have COVID? Yeah, probably.
You know what's
but
wild?
You know
it's,
what?
It's actually still like too early. I was thinking like, oh, I guess everybody came
back
clean. Yeah,
still too early to like really know.
We actually might not fully know.
And I mean, and more than likely, you know, half of those players, you know, will get it. And honestly, half of them may have had it at some point, just never experienced the symptoms, right?
Yeah.
But you know, like even before they were really tested and... Because, you know, that's how this whole thing works. Like, I assume I've had it at some point because I've had so many close encounters. But even though I've never tested positive, I just assume I had it back in January when I was sick. And so now I've just been good.
That's why you're so militantly refusing to wear a mask.
Yes.
And you walk around just coughing and everyone's open mouths.
Because I'm good. I got the antibodies.
Yeah, because you're like a superhero at this point. We really did give...
a very nice mask. It's a Charlie Hustle.
It is nice.
It's so soft.
I do like it.
It's
it looks
so comfy.
Good. I did try it on a few times whenever you like left it on a table. I put it on and just sort of breathed into
it. Have
I
ever washed it? Of course not.
No.
Why would you?
Why would you? What's the point of washing a mask?
Sometimes I just lick it randomly.
Sure.
Yeah. Duh.
Sure. Outside of it also.
That
try to get someone else's.
Is so soft.
So soft. Feels
it's
so nice.
Such good fabric. Makes my mouth feel warm. Honestly, I think I'm just going to be wearing it after this because you know what helps keep my face cold
in
the winter?
Yeah.
This mask does.
Yeah.
It helps keep my face very warm.
Masks in winter are going to become something we're going to just accept because we're all going to have all these cloth masks and everything. What are we going to do? Stop wearing them? I paid $97 for my custom rhinestone mask. I'm going to not wear that whenever the pandemic's gone in 2027? No.
Heck no.
Or maybe yes. I forgot how I framed that question.
Eh.
We really did just give Russell Wilson the MVP, and like I get it because he hasn't won one, he hasn't gotten a vote yet.
Russell and Rodgers, that was
yeah.
It was down to Russell and Rodgers. Those were your MVP.
And like Mahomes was playing well the whole way through, but especially we get the Jets game that we got on Sunday, and you get that little like statistical reminder of how good he's been. And even now, I don't know what the betting odds are, but I don't feel like Mahomes, I feel like he's still third. And Russell Wilson has actually had some bad primetime moments. Like we actually have seen him make some mistakes. And if he wins MVP, I'm not going to freak out right now.
Brady, I assume second.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't even think about Brady.
Because I think Rodgers is actually out of it now. I think he's kind of, not because of his necessarily because of his play. I just think if you ask me right now, top three, it's probably Russell, Brady, and Mahomes.
And see, this is why it's stupid, though. And honestly, if we're gonna make any sort of like electoral comparison here, like we're getting different counties reporting. Mahomes hasn't. Here's the thing: Mahomes' worst moment came on fourth and long when they were already trailing to the Raiders. He threw his one pick. Rodgers had a couple of bad moments, and he kind of fell out of it. Wilson had some bad moments and is still right there at the top. Mahomes has had no bad moments, or you can go BCS rules if you want to go this way. Tom Brady's bad moments just happened early.
Yeah.
Remember that was not working. The Tampa Brady Buccaneers experience was...
First 2 weeks was rough.
It was not cashing out those first 2 weeks. If Patrick Mahomes had 2 weeks that looked like that in, you know, week 14 through 16 or something... we'd be freaking out. Mm-hmm.
The thing, and this is honestly, and it's I feel like we're here, and I could be wrong, we're not at this point yet, but I think we're at this point with Mahomes as far as the national standpoint goes, and it's wild that we're here mm-hmm. when he's like 24.
Yep.
But he's like in the LeBron James factor, where the reality is he is the most valuable player every single year.
Yeah.
But he's obviously not going to win it every single year, and people are going to be actively looking for other players to not give it to, or to give it to other than Mahomes. It's not because Mahomes is good, or because I think Mahomes isn't good. It's because giving it to Mahomes is kind of boring because it's almost so obvious. And so also what I think what hurts him this year too is the fact that Russell has never even received a vote.
Yeah.
And so this year might be the makeup year for a lot of past years where he gets all the votes. We also have tended to give it out like pretty early the last 2 years. Now, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes rightfully earned, like, they got the hype extremely early by coming out of the gate hot.
There was a little Drew Brees talk for against Mahomes, like, mid-late season.
Absolutely. But like those,
and then,
like,
and then it was nearly unanimous, yeah,
those, I think. Those were guys that came out on fire the last 2 years, and then they continued it all year long. So, like, they were rightfully the deserving winners. It's not like they just had good 4 weeks and were Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns and Lamar Jackson had, like, 5,000 total yards.
Right.
They were insane.
Proof that running backs do matter.
Yes, but I wonder, though, if that's another thing where we haven't, like, fallen almost entrapped to, where it's like, where again, we hand out the award after week four,
yeah,
and then that guy now is just going to get it. And then I think you couple that with the fact that Russell Wilson has never even received a vote.
I think that's the factor that if it's close, Wilson's going to get it. I kind of I like the Mahomes is already LeBron take, not because of, like, not even necessarily because of the, like, absolutely dominant performance, but in the fact that we're already bored of the greatness on a level that we are going to always try to find the next guy. I mean, I saw on one of the TVs in the studio yesterday, a few days ago, sometime this week, I think it was, where ESPN was having a, you know, they were embracing debate, and the Chiron at the bottom said, "What young quarterback would you take other than Mahomes?"
Because that's how it always goes now.
Because it's a dumb question if you say, "What young quarterback would you take?" Because Mahomes is he turned 25 yet? Or is he still 24? You said 24 a second ago.
I think he's 25 now, but I'm pulling
it
up.
He is 25.
Sure.
He's cool. 20. He turned 25 in September.
By the way, Russell Wilson is -190. Mahomes is currently second at +300.
I mean, that.
And then it's Brady +7, Rodgers +12, and so like Brady sneaking in, but right now Mahomes and you know Wilson are, you know, the two favorites.
And people still vote with storylines on this. Like Brady,
for sure.
Brady's a higher. Favorite because he's doing it in Tampa
at 43.
He's 1,000 years old, first year in a new place. He's been great. He's been an MVP, all of those things. But this is different because he's doing it in a different place, and it's kind of a comeback because last year he was certainly not playing at an MVP level. I think all that tracks. But like the level we're at with Mahomes is, I do think, is comparable to LeBron, where like. I think Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the NFL since like half a season into it. I feel like I was probably saying it around then, if not sooner. And I had extremely high expectations for him out of the gate. I think that's like making him LeBron has been LeBron now for a decade and change in a way that just Mahomes literally hasn't been due to no fault of his own.
Due to being 25.
And I think we probably got...
Of course, at 25, LeBron was already like an 8-year vet.
He'd been there
for
a decade, yeah. I think we probably took a little bit more of that from LeBron because... And even then, you know what he did? He switched teams and storylines, like sort of like with Brady's, the Cavs LeBron teams versus the Heat LeBron teams versus back to the Cavs, now in the Lakers, like... We still sort of circle back, but you're right. I mean, Giannis can win MVPs, and we'll always find someone to give it to that's not LeBron, because LeBron winning it every year is just kind of boring. I do think there's an argument for that being the future with Mahomes, even though this is year three. It's year three, and last year he got hurt, And he was hurt, not just the games that he missed. I know everyone in Kansas City knows this. I don't know who I'm explaining this to. But he was hurt all year long. Like, he
was healthy for about one quarter.
For about a quarter against the Jags. And then since then, his ankle was a problem.
On, yeah. Because I think even people in Kansas City forget that, where you think about the games where he missed. It was like, well, no, because even prior to that, you could see significant pain when playing football. Yep. Yeah, you still play at a really high level.
Remarkably. I mean, I think it was the Colts game where they didn't score much. Like, he was actually playing well, and the offense still had all of its issues. That offense was healthy for about a quarter. Tyreek Hill had the sternoclavicular joint thing where his collarbone popped towards his squishy bits on the inside.
Yeah, and then when he gets healthy, then there was always somebody in that offense that was out for a reason.
Until, like, week 14 or
yes,
whatever.
And then they all got back.
And then they didn't lose again. Huh. Almost as if Mahomes got his kneecap back in place, his ankle healed, they lost to the Titans, and then did not lose again. And since then, they've lost once in a game against the Raiders that we're going to look back on in 3 months, and we're going to go, man,
like,
that one's weird. What's going to happen, and I had a thought of, like, maybe this game won't stay in primetime because I think it's Sunday Night Football against the Raiders, but they're going to the new stadium in LA, and you don't take Patrick Mahomes out of primetime. Unless Mahomes gets COVID or his kneecap gets wobbly, the end of November, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Raiders, I would like to know what the line for that's going to be right now, because they are, first of all, have the loss from the first meeting, have a bye week when they head to Vegas. And it's also not like the bye week going to Vegas might be dangerous for teams in years to come. It will not be this year because there's nothing to do because of COVID. But the Vegas bye week is a little scary. But they're going to have the bye week. And this is something that Seth Kizer said. If for all of the things that Seth and I pick on each other about, Seth saying this does not come from him lightly. Andy Reid got out coached by John Gruden in that game. Spags got outcoached by Gruden, and the Chiefs' offense had a few issues of its own, but they weren't adjusting well. And if you think that Andy Reid is going to take that for a second time from the Raiders, coming off of a bye, the week after that is against the Bucks, and in a conference where you might not be able to lose two games and still get the number one seed in the AFC, you don't want to blow like all of your best stuff against the Raiders. I think the Chiefs might win that game by 20 points.
Chiefs-Bucks, man. It's gonna be a fun game.
It is going to be fun. And because defense is a little spooky.
Yeah, and then also you just look at the offenses of both teams. Because, like, obviously, like, yeah. Brady's getting older, but, like, Ronald Jones has developed into a nice back for them. And then, of course, they've got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, who will hopefully if they can get everybody healthy. Like, Antonio Brown is now in his, you know, he's been living with Tom Brady for a month now.
Well, Rudy, that's 4 weeks from now.
That's true.
If
that's
you think, I'm not
predicting anything.
Here's my gambling
Brown
advice.
We'll be in Tampa Bay this weekend.
Yes,
after
that's true.
That, who knows?
Rudy, it's Wednesday. It's only Wednesday right
that's
now.
Good point.
It is 8:20 p.m. Central time on a Wednesday.
He will be in Tampa Bay on a Baker's weekend because that's counting Friday. Saturday, I don't know.
A Baker's weekend? Is that
a
thing?
I'm just throwing something out there. I don't, you know, Baker's does
yes.
is actually one more. A Baker's
yes.
weekend
is
just one more day.
Counting Friday?
Counting Friday.
That's pretty good. I would like to advise everyone listening. I don't like to give gambling advice because I'm, you know, now messing with your money. But I would say go ahead and try to go ahead and find a prop that says the Chiefs will beat the Raiders by they'll cover whatever it is. I don't really care. Just take them covering, and then whenever they play the Buccaneers in 4 weeks, Antonio Brown will not be on that team anymore.
My best I just came across this line. My best betting advice for you is go to the books. And just put $1 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl, because right now it's plus 200,000. $1 wins you 200K.
200,000?
No, you got no risk. 200,000 right now on MyBookie. 200,000.
200,000?
Yeah. I thought to myself, like, it was 20,000. And then right below or above them is the Panthers at plus 15,000. I'm like, oh, no.
They have the second worst odds?
No. I don't know how this is. Oh, it's a – no. I don't know. I don't know how this format. It's not by ABC order. It's not by odds. It's just random.
Okay, sure.
But above them was the Panthers at 15,000. And I thought to myself, nope, the Jets have an extra zero there. That's 200,000.
Now, let's stay there for a second, because here's the thing. They have no wins, are nearly mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and will absolutely not be going undefeated from this point forward, which is literally what it would take all the way through the Super Bowl to pay off on that bet.
Jags are next lowest at plus 75,000.
So all of those things I just said, saying I'll bet a dollar to win $200,000 on literally anything just feels like it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, hey, Josh, I'll give you 200,000 to one odds that you'll wake up tomorrow and sprout wings out of your back and then fly to the moon, I'd be like, yeah, all right, I'll Venmo you a dollar.
Here's a dollar?
Sure, yeah. Maybe while I'm sleeping, our reality will collide with another reality. And I mean, like, what would you not? I mean, I'm not going to go put a dollar on it. So maybe I'm saying that's actually fine. Here's the thing. Why not just say a billion to one? At that point, if you're just trying to get a bunch of idiots with $5 to just say, yeah, all right, I'll put $5 on it to win $1 million. Right? That's the math. I'll put five bucks down to win $1 million on the Jets winning the Super Bowl. Why not just say you if you win this, you own the company? If the Jets win the Super Bowl, everyone who bets on this gets a share of the company.
I'm guessing just by the craziest of, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, even if you don't want to, like, even if you feel like there's no reason to, like, protect yourself.
But if somebody puts $10 on that, you're bleeped.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money my bookie's got offshore hanging out in some...
Caymans.
In the Caymans, but it's actually, it gets bounced around to 400 different locations and back again. But it feels like if a $10 bet on the Jets to win the Super Bowl could bankrupt you, just don't have it on the board. Just in the odds thing, just let it say LOL. And then if you click it, they just take your money and light it on fire in front of you, because that's what you're doing.
If you just want to donate money to the company, you're welcome to. You're not getting anything from this, but yeah, you can.
I mean, that... I just don't know what I would do in that situation. What are the Super Bowl favorites right now? This is not where I thought this show was going to start, but that's the beauty of live radio, baby. This whole segment started off with a joke about counting ballots and Russell Wilson. Now look at us.
So can you guess the favorite?
That's got to still be the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, it's Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. Plus 350.
Let me guess a little bit. Let's see how far down the list I can get. Okay, so the Chiefs are at 1 and the Jets are at 32.
Correct.
Jags are 31.
Yes.
At 2, obviously this is not a guess, but I'm thinking out loud because it's a radio show. And I actually thought we might talk about the AFC some tonight, so maybe this is us doing that by accident. The Steelers are undefeated, and I probably should buy that on some level. And it just sort of feels a little counterfeit to me. And I think it's just because I don't trust Roethlisberger to be accurate downfield or be able to do this for a full season. I know their defense is great, and I know he's got all the weapons in the world that he can play like Alex Smith or whatever, and maybe they'll win 14 games. And even with a pretty cake schedule, I don't imagine they're going to go undefeated. But I would think that just being undefeated halfway through the season puts them over all of those teams in the NFC that all have various flaws. But you've also got to account for, you know, I'm going to say the Buccaneers for a second.
Should have stuck with the gut.
Is it the Steelers at 2?
Steelers are 2 at plus 550.
Well, but are the Bucs 3?
Bucs are 3 at plus 600. So it's very close. Yeah. But I don't think anything you said about the Steelers is wrong. Like, you know, Roethlisberger still has that, like, ability to have games where he looks really good, right?
Does Phil Rivers.
But that's my point. Like, it's common among older quarterbacks who have had good careers. Like, they have that ability to go off, and he has the weapons around him to help him.
Right.
But, like, you just still see too many games, like, against the Giants where he just does nothing. But again, because of their schedule and because of their defense, they'll win a lot of regular season games. I just don't have faith in them they're the team that I think they probably end up with a one or the two seed because of their schedule.
Right.
And I could absolutely see them lose their first game.
Here,
I wouldn't be shocked.
Here's the bonkers thing about welcome to Schedule Radio. This is a serious sports show now. Here's who they've beaten so far, okay? Beat the Giants. I think that was a Monday night game opening the season.
Oh yeah, it was.
I love that.
I had to watch it. It was brutal.
Yeah, you know what? I remember watching part of it because I was football starved. I remember listening to part of it while I was mowing. That's how I remember it was a Monday night game. Because it was the first part of the doubleheader.
Yeah.
I would like Monday night doubleheaders back, by the way. If we could just get those again.
I don't know how those that's were not great. Just like a weekly thing, to be honest. Like, I feel like that's the next step for the NFL is just making it a common...
Like, how about, hey, NFL, how about Niners-Packers? We'll talk about that later. Why don't you move that to Monday night instead of trying to make them play tomorrow? I'll come in and do a Thursday night AES.
Make the second Monday. Also, you can make the second Monday night game. That could essentially be a flex.
Yeah,
no team
sure
is going
to
complain about, like, so, like, you always have one Monday night game scheduled, right? That happens before the year starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we go through the season, just as the scouts develop, whatever is the most enticing, you know, games, there's your second Monday night football game. No NFL team is going to complain about having
an extra
day. So
you're saying not even just as COVID. You're saying there's going to be a 9 p.m.
Yeah.
and a 6 p.m.
or
whatever.
When they do that schedule thing, we've got, here's the schedules. But then all weeks, and maybe you don't, maybe if you're the NFL or whatever, ESPN, when you have Chiefs Ravens on a Monday night, you feel like, hey, this is all we need. But when you got Giants and Pittsburgh, and you're like, hey, we need another game here because this is bad. Oh, the Chiefs are playing Buffalo? Cool.
I'm 100% down for this. This works for me. So here's what the Steelers have beaten. They beat the Giants, and then the Broncos, and then the Texans. They beat the Broncos by 5 points. The Broncos aren't that good.
The Giants was a close game, too.
They beat
wasn't
the Giants
it?
By 10.
Okay, so it'd be a little bit more.
They beat the Texans by 7, and we found out that the Texans are not good. They beat the Eagles by 9. They're awful. They destroyed the Browns, who are a kind of good football team. The Browns are going to be 12-4 with losses to the Steelers and Ravens. Did they lose to somebody else already, actually? I think they
Didn't they lose to the
Tennessee?
Bengals? Oh no! They beat Cincinnati.
Cincinnati
should have beat them, but they came back and won that game.
Oh no! They lost to the Raiders last week.
Yes, that's right.
I was not paying attention to any other football last week because the Chiefs played at noon. Finding out how the Broncos-Chargers game ended, finding out that the Browns lost to the Raiders, and then finding out that the Titans lost to the Bengals were all very jarring. So they beat the Browns, who are kind of okay. The Steelers beat the Titans. By three.
Just kind of okay, I think, too.
Who are starting to seem a little bit... they're not a paper tiger, but they're like a rubber tiger.
Mm-hmm.
they're like an animatronic tiger. They could hurt you still, but it's not exactly the same thing.
Their defense has taken a pretty big step back. And again, I don't know how many times we've talked about, like, this is what makes it so difficult to build your team where the defense is meant to lead things. We're seeing that in Buffalo. Now, you know, Buffalo's obviously got Josh Allen who can go out and win you games. And even Tannehill's shown you can go out and win games.
Yep.
But when the game plan is for the defense week in and week out and year in and year out to be the main focus, it's really hard.
It's volatile and it's really expensive.
Hard. Yeah.
So they beat the Titans, who I think are like good, and they beat the Ravens, who are very good. Their last two wins over the Titans and Ravens are the things that should make you like, but buy into them a little bit. Both of those really close wins. I think the Titans and Ravens have been sort of relegated down a tier in sort of the conversation around the AFC when they really probably belong right there with the Steelers. All three of those teams really belong together. The Steelers end up first or second in power rankings.
Because they've just won the game.
Because they're undefeated.
Yeah.
Because they won the game.
I think we're at the point now with the AFC just in general where And like, this doesn't mean the Chiefs are going to win every game. This doesn't mean the Chiefs are going to go out and win another Super Bowl this year because, like, it just takes one game where you're just kind of okay to lose, and the NFL's really hard. But the gap between the Chiefs and the rest of the AFC just looks so wide. And honestly, I wasn't fully expecting it because I was expecting Baltimore to be better. And again, this can change so fast where next year all of a sudden Baltimore looks like they did last year. And like, the NFL is a weird sport and it really is like as simple a lot of times as who is your quarterback. A lot of times that's really the only gap between good teams and bad teams.
Look at the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the Steelers play on Sunday.
Oh God, their schedule's...
I'm going to get to the rest of their schedule in a second. But like, your point there is, I can't remember who the comp was, but someone tweeted like Dak Prescott was the difference between the Cowboys being the Cowboys and the Cowboys being basically the Jets.
Yeah.
And they paid Ezekiel Elliott first. Obviously, Dak's not there because of his ankle, not because of his contract. Mm-hmm. But like, I've had questions about what exactly Dak Prescott is. Should you pay him like the third best quarterback in football, even though I think he's actually the seventh or whatever, or should you try to draft somebody? What you definitely shouldn't do is try to replace him with Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci, because neither of those things are going to work. Also, I just realized Ben DiNucci sounds like a fake name you give to someone to make them say something dirty, but it's actually not.
And do you see who might be starting for him this week?
Yeah, it's whoever's on their practice squad,
Cooper
right?
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush,
the
baby.
Name Cooper Woo! Rush is so good.
Great quarterback name. Cooper Rush is up there with Colt McCoy.
You know, my guess is you've never seen it, but you've heard of Blue Mountain State, correct?
Yes.
Cooper Rush is 100% the quarterback in Blue Mountain State.
Yes, that sounds perfect. Friday Night Lights, whatever you need.
Any football movie / TV show, that's your quarterback, Cooper Rush.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay, so I'm going to give you the Steelers schedule. Cowboys, Bengals, Jags, Ravens, Washington, Buffalo, being the Bills, Bengals, Colts, Browns. Colts are kind of sneaky, like maybe just a little bit behind that cluster of kind of like good, not great AFC teams. Bengals had a nice win.
Bengals are feisty.
Like Bengals are feisty. Like they Colts are feisty.
I think Burrow gets them once. Because also, I just don't think that, again, I don't think Pittsburgh is very good.
I would like that. Ravens are good. Browns are questionable. Bills are questionable. I don't know. I don't like the idea of the Chiefs' first round bye basically hinging on if the Bengals beat the Steelers or not.
It's not great. It is not a great, like it's weird, like, because again, like I'll be shocked if Pittsburgh goes, you know, 16-0. I'd be shocked if they go 15-1, but the schedule is there to where they could kind of luck their way a bit into a 15-1, at which point the Chiefs just lose one more game, which wouldn't be crazy, because it's hard to go 14-2 in the NFL. Like, the NFL is incredibly hard to right. do that. So, like, and then, like, the fact that the Chiefs, if they don't get the bye at, like, 14-2 because Pittsburgh just had this weird year, like, that would suck.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We don't have the Facebook live stream right now. Technical difficulties. Hoping to have it back pretty soon. You can either text in 913-912-4810. That's the 810 text line. 913-912-4810. Or you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. I'm also going to put out a tweet. I want your best all-time NFL quarterback names. This is the most sports radio bit we've done in a while, but I do want to do that. 913-912-4810 for the text line, or tweet me at JB Briscoe. I'm starting with Colt McCoy. Rudy is starting with Cooper Rush. Tweet in your best quarterback names, purely by names, obviously, because Colt McCoy and Cooper Rush are our opening options.
Super Bowl matchup right there.
Probably not. Probably not going to happen.
Give him the right coach with the right system. Andy Reid gets one, Bill Belichick gets the other. Super Bowl matchup.
Also, I think Patrick Mahomes is like very near the bottom of the list of great quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes does not sound like a quarterback name, and he's been
sounds
so
like,
excellent at it that it's just
like
totally
the name,
brainwashed.
Like it does sound like the name of like maybe an athlete, like somebody who does make a living throwing a ball.
Yeah,
he
sounds like a goalie for the Ireland national team.
I was making a joke about his dad playing baseball.
Oh.
Like, he throws a ball for a living.
His dad played baseball?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Sports! Sports! We're talking about sports! Bam, 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 bam!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Got a handful of quarterback names. Here's the thing. I saw, like, I just was looking for a few also, and someone was like, Bronco Nagurski. Here's the thing. That's a powerful name, but if you're like, I need the name to say quarterback, for me, you got Bronco Nagurski at middle linebacker. I'm not running that way. I'm heading to the sideline.
I was going
to
say fullback, which is just the yes. middle linebacker of the offense.
Yes.
Yeah.
A few tweets at JB Briscoe here. Vinny Testaverde, good name. I don't know if I've got a Vinny playing quarterback. Like, I've got a Colt. Like, I got Cooper Rush, Colt McCoy.
Vinny's the kicker who played high school quarterback, but like,
yeah,
you know, he's kicking.
That's good. Bubby Brister, not bad.
The alliteration's solid.
I love alliteration. I almost said being illiterate, which would have been funny. Major Applewhite, an extremely good name. He's a field general.
Oh, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Makes me go quarterback, like Major.
Babe Laufenberg, also just that's a good name. Is that a good quarterback
name? I don't
name?
Know what position that is, but it's just a good name, yeah. He, you know what Babe Laufenberger is? He's just an athlete.
He is
an athlete.
He's a Dan Sorensen type.
Yes.
I just got one from Andrew. Oh, Boomer Esiason. Boomer's great.
Mm-hmm.
Boomer, because Boomer, you're taking shots, man. Boomer is unloading.
And as you get older, you just become a funny meme.
That's right. Joe Montana, someone argued that Joe Montana is a good quarterback name because of Joe Montana, and I disagree because you've got the Indiana Jones factor.
If you have a state in your name, there is kind of just like a coolness to it. But the other name has to be kind of, has to be a little plain, like Joe or Jones,
yeah,
right?
If your name is Alfredo Montana,
it doesn't work.
Well, I don't know. It might.
But like if you go by, let's see.
No, I'm on a list of just good names.
But if you go by Wyoming Mark, I'm like, ooh, this guy.
Wyoming Mark? Mark Wyoming, I would give the
Mark
ball
Wyoming,
to.
Yes.
Wyoming Mark, I think, I don't know if I really want him to come play.
He has a traveling zoo.
We're going to have such a hard time beating Colt McCoy because it's a real
Colt's
it's
a good
little gun thing.
And coming from Texas, too.
And,
yeah.
And McCoy is a good, you know, you can throw that on the back of a jersey.
Man, here's the other thing with Colt McCoy. Not only is it a great quarterback name, but he was the quarterback of the Texas Longhorns. If that's not the most perfect,
I think that
match
is all working together
in heaven, right?
Yeah,
like
I think
they
you're right.
Like that is just everything coming together, and that's why Texas will probably never be back until another, you know, until Colt McCoy Jr., right? If Colt McCoy doesn't name his kid Colt McCoy Jr. to save Texas football. Is he really a Longhorn fan? I don't know, man.
I think he's got to do the Mahomes thing and be the second. I think got to be Colt McCoy the second.
And that's fine. I feel like your kid's name has to be Colt McCoy. He has to be a quarterback. He has to go to Texas. And then Texas football will finally be back.
I got a K-State name.
Give it to me.
Rock Cartwright.
Ooh.
That's a fullback name,
yeah.
And he was a fullback.
It's good.
But
it
Rock
fits.
Is tough to beat if you're just rolling through an offense like
Give
that.
Give the Rock to Rock.
Billy Cannon.
Cannon's good.
Cannon's great, right?
Yeah.
And it's not Bill. Bill
no,
Cannon.
Bill Cannon sells insurance in Montana.
He's like cooler than the rest of the insurance salesman.
He's got a mustache. And you're like, whoa, nice stash.
Right. Like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to leave my wife around Bill Cannon. Bill Cannon makes me nervous.
Bill Cannon
but
is
Billy
such a
Cannon,
good.
Woo!
Bill Cannon's such a good salesman. Because,
also not a quarterback, though.
Because everybody's just like he goes up, like, he only deals with the wives. And they buy. They buy. Because Bill's got charisma.
Women want him. Men want to be him.
Yep.
Bill Very King. Heteronormative, but that's just the line.
Coming to theaters near you, starring Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, man. Bill
Matthew
Cannon
McConaughey
has big Matthew McConaughey energy. That's true.
He wrote a book, by the way. A biopic on his life.
Did he really?
And he also then obviously read it as the audiobook. And that's not a book I want to read, but it's absolutely a book I want to listen to.
Yeah,
because I
want to
hear Matthew
true.
McConaughey read me stories about his life.
Max Reaper says Billy Joe Tolliver, and that's good. I like that a lot. Y.A. Tittle, very good.
There's something about the, like, again, where the name is Y.A.,
uh-huh.
right? Like, I don't want to know what Y.A. stands
well,
for.
I do now.
But, like, just anytime you get those, the little abbreviation for the first name, that's quarterback.
So, a couple other ones. Someone who is once a friend of the show, now dead. Brogan Roback.
Brogan Roback is good.
Strong. I will tell you why A. Tittle was a junior. His middle name is Abraham.
Okay.
I would like for you to try to guess the first name. This is not a trick question where
young,
it does not start with a Y.
Young Abraham Tittle.
No. Give me just a few. Just really shoot off a few here.
Yizzy.
Nope.
Yazzy.
Nope.
Do I know any more Y names?
Give me one more.
Okay.
I feel like you're really close.
I'm now just trying to think of just any name that starts with Y. Now.
I think you're really close.
Man, you don't see a lot of names that start with Y.
It's tough.
Yibbert.
His name, Y.A. Tittle's full name is Yelberton Abraham Tittle Jr.
I understand why he went by Y.A.
Yelberton. That is Y-E-L-B-E-R-T-O-N.
Ooh, I see so many points out here. It is pretty good. Brody Croyle was a pretty good quarterback.
Great
name.
Quarterback. Yes.
That was a good quarterback.
Yes. I would say also Ricky Stanzi.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brody Croyle, Ricky Stanzi. You know what?
Another Chiefs name.
Green, pretty good.
I got another one.
Okay.
Tyler Thigpen.
Yes.
Good quarterback name.
Now, you can tell by the name, he's mobile.
Absolutely.
Ricky Stanzi, pocket. His feet are cement.
I will die on the stance that Tyler Thigpen was just a quarterback born too soon.
Yeah.
He would thrive in today's NFL.
Really would.
Especially with Andy Reid. Tyler Thigpen would be a star.
Tyler Thigpen, Brody Croyle, Ricky Stanzi, all really good quarterback names.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have had more good quarterback names than good quarterbacks.
Good quarterbacks, unfortunately.
Let me just Yelberton. I'm just Googling Yelberton.
It sounds like a town in, like, Oregon.
If you search Yelberton, it's like, did you mean Y.A. Tittle? Because that's the only mother bleeper we got with that name on Google. What does the name Yelberton mean? All right, names.org, I'll bite. What type of name is Yelberton? Well, it's a boy's name. Which of the following lists would you find most interesting? I'm going to click Arthurian legend names. I'm not going to fill this whole thing out. You don't, names.org, you're a fraud. You're trying to get my email address. I'm not giving it to you. This is, Willard Smith? Willard Smith was really jarring. Will Smith's real first name is Willard. And I ended up finding that because a guy I went to college with had a kid and named it Willard. And I was like, that's really unique and you can make it Will really easy. That's fine. I was like, are there a lot of Willards out there rolling around? Found out, oh, Will Smith is also named Willard. I don't know. I mean, if your name is Yelberton, do you go by Bert?
Y-A. You just go by Y. And then whatever your middle initial is, that's your second letter.
I've now Googled Yelberton and Ernie, the Sesame Street duo. Canonically, that's Bert's real name is Yelberton. Weirdly, I Googled that and I found almost nothing but obituaries.
That's sad.
Well, it's a very old. They're all very old names. So you Google Yelberton and Ernie, and you
find they're not around.
Find an obit for Ernie Adora Yelberton Brigston.
Here's a name: 1953 Chicago Bear Willie Thrower.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
that's a little lazy.
Them.
It's a little on the nose. By the way, when you search Yelberton and Ernie, that result I just gave you, the domain name it directs you to, findagrave.com.
Okay, whose grave do we want to find?
It's not the best. It's not the best we could do. I will also say the font. Go to findagrave.com, and then we're going to take a break. The font choice for the logo of Find a Grave is very whimsical. It's very sort of like haunted, kind of haunted funny.
Yeah.
And then that is sort of in the top left corner of a site that then in the splash page says World's Largest Gravesite Collection.
And it's got like a question mark that's like also looks like it might, like it's on a tombstone almost, like as the logo, and it's, huh.
Well, they have a button where you can click and see most popular graves. George Washington, Ben Franklin, William Shakespeare, Walt Disney. That makes sense. Newly
Walt
added
Disney's
graves?
Grave is underneath Disney because that's where his head's still at, I believe.
Is it still?
Of course.
Yeah,
He's coming back to life one day.
Newly added graves, I really don't want to look through. That seems like a real bummer. Andy Rooney died on this day in 2011. Thanks, findagrave.com. My new homepage. Let's take a break. I got a lot of Googling to do.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Is 17 a receiver?
Yes, 17 is a receiver. Let me go back. It is Harold Carmichael, played for the Eagles and the Cowboys, 71 to 84.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Who says this isn't a sports show?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Somebody tweeted in Ricky Stanzi or Bart Starr. Pretty sure this is the first time in history those names are in the same sentence. Easton Stick, very good.
I know where he went to college at.
Yeah, he's a new
Washington?
I don't know, something like that. One of those. Someone also tweeted Yelberton Abraham Tittle, which we just all learned about altogether.
North Dakota State. I knew it was one of those 1AA schools.
That feels right. Bobby Stroop, who is Patrick Mahomes' trainer, you'll see the video, like the hype videos of, you know, Patrick Mahomes like throws a dumbbell like with his foot and then headbutts it 40 yards or whatever. That's Bobby's work. He tweeted, "I saw a game at a Texas college with a kid named Xavier Bloodsaw playing quarterback.
Such a good name.
I don't know what that. I guess we should Google that. If I could buy a Bloodsaw jersey, I would do that right now. Incredible." Alec Lewis just said John Parker Wilson. That one's a very Alabama one.
Anytime you get the hyphenated last name.
Yeah, always a crowd pleaser.
John David Booty. So I'm mad about it. I just lost the page. The co-offensive coordinator at... on this website. It's not a great page because it kind of cuts off the team name.
Sounds like you should be at findagrave.com.
I think it's Homestead High School, co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, Xavier Bloodsaw.
Oh, wow. He's coaching now?
I don't know if this is the same guy, but like he's a co-offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, and his name is Xavier Bloodsaw.
I said a Texas college. Bobby tweeted Texas College. He played at Texas College. This was in 2009. I've now researched him. And in 2009, let's find his 23 total touchdowns, 2,700 yards total, ran a little, threw a lot. He beat Southern Nazarene University, a school that I am personally familiar with. Actually, he played them. I don't know that he won or not.
What year was this?
2009. Okay, Texas College.
Okay, because I found, and I think this is the same guy, 2004, but this is when he's in high school. And this page just, Houston Chronicle.
Yeah, I'm on NAIA's stats page right now. It's tough.
So in Houston Chronicle, he went to Nimitz High School, which is, I found out, that's also where the current co-offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, Xavier Bloodsaw, is the coach at.
Gotta be.
His alma mater. But players to watch, quarterback, Xavier Bloodsaw. 6-0. Bloodsaw returns after leading the way to Division II 5A quarterfinals for Nimitz High School.
That's a great name. Also at findagrave.com, there's a section for interesting epitaphs. So if you hover over the gravestone for Edward Paul Abbey, who lived from 1927 to 1989, their gravestone at the bottom says, "No comment." Someone's gravestone here just says, "I was ... somebody," which is honestly kind of, Rudy just like grimaced. I don't like that one. There's another one that's kind of depressing. Then here's one that just says, "James Allen Bear, 1947 to 1985. It happens." And that's a good attitude.
It does happen.
"Here lies Lucky and will always lie.
I was a person and it did just happen. And I will always lie here."
This one's got a little OU logo on it, which is sort of weird. But I guess you do you.
"Unless Nicolas Cage takes my body for National Treasure 4, because I actually have a secret relic. At which point I won't lie there forever."
I haven't really thought a whole lot about my eternal resting place. But if it has anything to do with Nick Cage, I'm pretty cool with that.
Yeah, I'm in.
he's significantly older than I am. Yeah, I'm not going to think about it. No, I hope that my body somehow is used in a Nick Cage film many years down the line.